Please turn with me in your Bibles to the first letter of John the Apostle, 1 John chapter 4. verse 8. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And that's our subject this morning. God is love. Well, we come to this tremendous verse, these wonderful words written under inspiration by the Apostle John. And just to give a very brief context and to identify who this John is. This is, of course, the man who was the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord was on the earth 2,000 years ago, preaching and teaching in Judea and Galilee. This John was with him. He was his disciple, his apostle. And John is a man who is particularly qualified to speak of the love of God. In the Gospel according to John, he is described as the one whom Jesus loved, which, well, it suggests that John had a particularly blessed relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, a particularly close relationship, one of great love. John really did know what it was like to have the love of Christ shed abroad in his heart. He seemed to have a greater appreciation than all the other disciples of what it meant to be loved by Christ. And well, in this letter, 1 John, the first letter of John, the word love is repeatedly mentioned. Love, we see love so often presented to us, and many pictures of the love that God has for his people that is shown to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is at the very heart of this letter. And well, what a joyous thing that is. And what a joyous thing it is to read even that God is love. That is what God is. God doesn't just have love. God isn't just capable of love. He actually is love. Just as last week we explained that God is life. When we choose life, well, we choose God. Well, in the same way, if you want to know what true love is, what the highest love is, well, then you must seek God, because God is love. He is the source of all love. There is no other source. This is where love comes from. Where does love come from? It comes from God. And love, of course, I'm sure you'll agree, is the finest thing about life, the greatest thing about life. To love one another, to love our friends, to love our spouses, to love our parents, to love our children. What a terrible world it would be without love. And yet God is the source of love. So this in itself, when you read these words, this in itself ought to make you want to seek God and not reject God. Why would you reject God if God is love? What possible reason could you have if we only understood these words, if only the world truly acknowledged them? And well, the Apostle John is exhorting believers in this chapter particularly to love one another. This is a great part of our witness, those of us who are Christian. If we want to show the world what God is really like, we have to love one another. It's a great part of our witness, because that's what God is. God is love. If Christians don't love one another, we're not presenting an adequate witness of God to the world. And so John says, God is love, therefore we love one another. If we want to represent God, if we want to be his ambassadors in this world. But God is love. And the first question, really, that we will attempt to answer in our very brief time this morning is, how do we love one another? How do we love one another? The world around us speaks a lot about love. Many people, you don't have to be a Christian to know the importance of love, how we must love one another in this world. All we need is love. Love is sung about in popular music, so many movies about love, and so on. But the question that has to be asked is, does the world actually know how to love? Does the world know how to love? You can't know how to love if you don't know God. This is what the Apostle John is teaching us. If you don't know God, you don't really know how to love one another. God teaches us how to love. He alone teaches us through his word, through his law, the Ten Commandments. They teach us how to love. The world has the wrong view of the Ten Commandments. When the world looks at the Ten Commandments, they think these things are oppressive. They're just mere rules and regulations, the Ten Commandments. But that is entirely the wrong view. The Ten Commandments, they teach us how to love one another. It's the law of love. If you love somebody, for example, you will never lie to them. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear false witness. You won't lie to somebody that you love. If you love somebody, you won't steal from them. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Or you can put it this way, you won't hate anybody in your heart and despise them. Well, of course, if you love someone, you won't do any of those things. So the law, the Ten Commandments, is actually teaching us how to love one another. They're not just simply oppressive rules, as people think. If only the world knew the Ten Commandments, the law of God, perhaps we could love one another a little more than we are doing at the present time. The Ten Commandments, they teach us how to love. And well, we remember when Christ came from heaven to earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, he perfectly fulfilled the law. He perfectly fulfilled the Ten Commandments. Why was that? Well, yes, of course, he was holy. He was perfectly holy. But also he was perfect love. That's how he fulfilled the law, the Ten Commandments, because he was perfect love. There was no lack of love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time we sin, we are showing a lack of love toward one another. If you lie to someone, that's a lack of love. If you steal from someone, that's a lack of love. But there was no lack of love in Christ. And that's how he perfectly fulfilled the law, the Ten Commandments. Yes, he was perfectly holy, but he fulfilled the law because he was perfect love. He loved us perfectly. He's the fulfillment of the law of God. So the law teaches us how to love. We see love in the law of God. But in a greater sense, of course, we see love in the gospel message, that which we preach every Lord's Day morning in this church. And well, even in verse 9, we see the gospel message presented to us here, chapter 4, verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. The love of God, the greatest declarations of the love of God in the Word of God are always associated with the gospel, with the sending of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. John 3:16, you could also mention. But the gospel message speaks of love. Christ came into the world to save us from our sins. From our sins. Now, many people, of course, when they hear this, well, they don't think that the gospel message is a message of love. They think it's a message of offense. This is very offensive. You're telling us we are sinners. The very idea that we are sinners, how dare you tell us this, that we are sinners? How unkind, people say. How unloving the gospel message is. If God really loved us, they tell you, if God really loved us, he would say that we're nice people. He would say that we're good people, not sinners. If God really loved us, that's what he would say, that we're all wonderfully nice people. But dear friends, God cannot tell us that we're all wonderfully nice people, that we're all good people, because that would be a lie. That would be a lie, an untruth. God will not lie to us. To lie to us about who we really are, well, that really would not be loving. If you love someone, you tell them the truth. Of course, you don't lie to somebody if you truly love them. You tell them the truth. And that is what God is doing when he teaches us about sin. He's speaking the truth in love. He must tell us the truth about sin, that we are sinners. He must tell us the truth about sin, about the consequences of sin, the consequences of sin in our lives, the eternal consequences of sin, judgment, about hell. Again, people say, that is so unloving. That's so unkind. You tell people that they're going to hell. How is that loving? Dear friends, this is the most loving thing of all. God is warning us. In love, God warns us about hell because he doesn't want us to go to hell. That's what he is doing. Why, it's like a parent warning a child, don't run into the road. Don't run into the road, you'll be hit by a car. You'll die. If the parent didn't care about the child, they would just let the child go. Wouldn't say anything. Don't tell them about the dangers, just let them go into the road and they'll be hit and they'll die. If the parent didn't care, they wouldn't say anything. But they do care. And so they must warn. And this is the same with God. God does not want us to go to hell. He loves us. If he didn't care about us, he wouldn't say anything. He would just let us enter into eternal loss. But he cares. Look where you are heading. Look where you are going. Look where your sin is leading you. I don't want you to go to that place. Look to Christ. Look for salvation. I love you. I must warn you. I must tell you about these things. This is an act of kindness. This is not unloving as the world sees it. God wants to save us. He wants to save us from eternal destruction. And so we must speak the truth. Somebody who loves us speaks the truth in love. God loves us. This is the love of God we are speaking about. And this is so amazing that God loves us even though we don't love him. If you look at verse 10, this will explain it. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means that God loves us even though we did not love him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. Well, now the Apostle John is speaking to Christians in this letter. He's speaking to believers, to Christian people. And it is true, it's the teaching of the scripture, that every Christian was once not a Christian. You can't be born a Christian. Every Christian was once not a Christian. Everyone who loves God, and there are many people who love God in this place, everyone who loves God, there was once a time when they did not love God. That's what the Apostle John is pointing out here. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. That is so true. We are born sinners. And we do not love God by nature. We may believe in God. There are many people who believe in God, but believing in God is not the same as loving God. Some people can believe in God, but they don't love God. They don't love his word. They don't love this talk about sin. They don't like it at all. They don't want God's authority over them. Yes, I believe there's a God, but he's not going to rule over me. I'm not going to obey him. I'm not going to follow his commandments. I'm going to do my own thing. We're all like that by nature. This is what the scriptures teach us. We are born sinners and we are inclined to sin, and we sin so freely and so willingly. This is terrible. Sin is so ugly in us. You know, nowadays, a lot of people fall in love with somebody because of their looks. That is what is presented nowadays and emphasized. Looks are so important. You could never fall in love with somebody who was unattractive. Very few people would say that. Looks have to be the most important thing. And people will tell you, the first time I saw somebody, I fell in love with them. They were so beautiful. It was love at first sight. But dear friends, in the sight of God, we are all so ugly. Not because of our physical looks, but because of our sin. Because of our sin, because God looks on the heart of each and every one of us by nature. And he sees our sin, our rebellious and our wicked hearts, and we are so ugly. And yet, despite our ugliness, despite our unattractiveness, God loves us still. God still loves us, even though he sees the ugliness of our sin, even though he knows everything that we've done, even though he knows all our sins, all our secrets. I remember speaking to one man who despaired over his sin. And he was telling me, or one of the things he was telling me, he said to me, you know, I could never really open up to anybody. I could never tell somebody about all the things I've done in my life, all the secrets I've got. I could never tell anybody that. Why not? Because they wouldn't like me. They wouldn't love me. How could I get somebody to love me when they know about all the wicked things I've done in my life? He would never tell anybody. But dear friends, you can tell God everything. You can tell God all the ugly history of your life, everything you've ever done, and God will still love you. He will still love you. That's the love of God, not the love of man. The love of man is so limited. The love of God, you confess your sins to him, he will forgive you all your sin. He will set his love upon you. That's the glorious love of God. He is so kind. He is so gracious. Well, many of you know the words of that great hymn that we sing so often. Nothing but sin have I to give, nothing but love will I receive. That's what it is to be saved. We have nothing but sin, but God will bless us with love. We can be received by God even despite our sin. Because, of course, well, this is the gospel message. God has done something. God has done something. You know, love, this is another aspect of love. Love, true love, is not just words. Some people, they talk a lot about love, but they never do anything to prove their love. But God, well, he has done something glorious to prove his love for us. Love is proved by what you do, not simply what you say. And God has done something glorious. He has sent his Son, his only begotten Son, into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, came down from heaven to earth, took upon himself a body, lived and dwelt amongst men, we know that, performed glorious and wonderful miracles that were so loving and so kind, but his greatest act of love was on the cross. It was on the cross, dear friends. Again, so many people, they don't want to hear about the cross. Don't talk to me about Christ on the cross, about his death. Talk to me about the miracles. Talk to me about the parables. We like those. And the words that the Lord Jesus Christ said. Don't talk about the cross. Don't mention it. But dear friends, on the cross, that's the greatest act of love that Christ showed us. Far greater than any of the healing miracles. The cross is the greatest act of love because he sacrificed for us. He offered himself up. Dear friends, love, true love, is sacrifice. How much that has been lost in this world. People go into friendships, people go into marriages, not prepared to sacrifice anything. And that's how marriages, relationships break up. But true love will sacrifice. That's what Christ did. He gave up everything for us. He left his glorious home in heaven, came into this world full of sin, a world in which we struggle. Think how the Son of God lived in this world. And he came and he suffered and died on the cross, forsaken of God. We read in this verse, verse 10, that he was the propitiation for our sins. A long word. What does it mean? The propitiation means that Christ took upon himself the wrath of God, the anger of God. God is angry at our sin, but Christ stood in our place, our substitute. Lord, punish me instead of them. Because I love them, I will willingly be their substitute. I will willingly be their scapegoat. Because I love my people, I will suffer and die, an offering and a sacrifice. This is the love of God. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, this is glorious. Do we take this in? We think of the gospel, we don't understand the measure of love. We have been forgiven all our sins. We have been washed and cleansed. We're no longer ugly. I spoke about the ugliness of sin. But what does Christ do? He takes something that is ugly, he makes us beautiful in the sight of God. Now we can appear before God and be accepted by him because Christ has washed and cleansed us by his precious blood. We were ugly, we have now been made beautiful. What divine love this is! Take it in, dear friends. How can you reject this gospel of grace? It is madness to reject it, to reject the finest love you could ever know. Everlasting love, love that cannot end. Will you not turn to the Lord and have that assurance of heaven? Why would you wait? How long have you already waited? Let me just add this to conclude. How long have you already waited? There are perhaps people here who have heard the gospel many times and you're waiting. What are you waiting for? Delaying to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. How long has it been? Well, however long it has been, it's not too late. It's not too late. God is patient. That's a great sign of somebody who loves you, isn't it? When somebody is patient, somebody who's impatient with you doesn't really have much love and affection for you. But God is always patient, no matter how long you've left it. No matter how long you've rejected Christ, rejected the gospel, God is so loving. He's waiting. He has not dealt with you according to your sins. He's so patient. Why is God patient? Because God is love. And he's calling you to know him, to know his love. That's what he wants. He doesn't want you to be lost eternally, to be lost in hell. Come and know me. Come and know that love that only I can give you, that eternal, everlasting love. It is madness to turn away from Christ. Read these words, take them in, apply them to your own heart. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. May the Lord bless these things to us.